Well, I'm going to be reading part of the story of Jesus' life. If you want to follow it in the Bible, it's on page 1077. There's probably a Bible somewhere under your chair, or you might be sitting on it, or something like that. And we can read that together. It's chapter 11, that big number 11, the death of Lazarus. It's quite a long story, but it's a good story. Now, good stories can be long, but they're great. Page 1077. Now, a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they will see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking about his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he's been in there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" So he took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you open our eyes to see your glory as we read your word. Amen. That's better. This is a crazy story, isn't it? It's crazy in every way. I heard one or two of you laughing as we were reading. I don't blame you either. There's some strange things going on here. So it says here, Jesus loved Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus is ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. I mean, that's great, isn't it? So there's Jesus with the power to heal, but because he loves Lazarus, he stays where he is. That's slightly odd. Jesus' friends say, well, you know, why are you going to go back to Jerusalem? Because they tried to kill you when you were there before. You've got crazy things going on all around. Jesus says, oh, he's just sleeping. Actually, Jesus means he's dead. Why doesn't Jesus just say he's dead? Jesus says he won't die, and he does die. You know, it's crazy. And this world is crazy. It's a crazy world we're in, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy Brexit world we're in, but if it wasn't Brexit, it would be something else. I'm old enough to remember the fall of the Berlin Wall and all that type of thing. Communism changed. Then there's peace in Ireland, then apartheid change. There's always something going on in this world, isn't there? We'll sort one thing out, then another thing happens. Crazy, crazy world. And you've got criticism in this story as well. Criticism of Jesus. Some of them say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Mary criticizes Jesus as well. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. So you've got this crazy world full of criticism, and you've got Jesus in the middle of it. And you're thinking to yourself, sometimes in your crazy world, there's all sorts of critical voices in your head. And you think, where is Jesus? What is he doing? Somebody said to me, he said, look, the thing is, I'm trying to find out what the purpose of life is, but I don't even know where to start. He says, there's Muhammad, there's Buddha, there's Jesus. He said, there's all these different religions. Where on earth do I start? He said, when I'm thinking, that's the track my mind goes down on. And all these people, for a lot of this time, are wondering, what on earth is going on? Is Jesus going to do anything? Who is he? Who is this Jesus? And then Jesus comes in with absolute certainty as well. So you've got a crazy world, critical world, and Jesus comes in with absolute certainty. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, that's easy to say, but you've got to prove it. Jesus is unusual in that he's the only prophet, religious person who ever claimed that type of thing. So that makes him stand out for a start. Muhammad never claimed that. Buddha never claimed that. None of the Sikh gurus ever claimed that. Because probably they're quite humble people. And they probably know that that would be an outlandish claim to make. So something that stands Jesus out from the crowd is he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In your crazy, critical world, start focusing on me. Everything else is spinning around me, but I'm solid. Well, that's easier said than done. And Mary and Martha, Jesus' two friends, are kind of wondering, well, what's Jesus going to do if you've been here? Lazarus, my brother, wouldn't have died. And we might have all sorts of questions for Jesus. Jesus, if you'd have done this, this wouldn't happen. Why aren't you sorting this out? Why are you letting that happen? What's going on? And even there, they're thinking, why did you let Lazarus die? And then that memory verse that was given to, that Bible verse given to Ellie. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And Ellie did believe. And she saw the glory of God at Thorpe Park. That's quite an amazing story. That is not chance. That is not luck. She saw the glory of God at the Youth Alpha weekend away. Colin and Barb are here, whose house we all went to. There you go. Colin and Barb, your house is quite special. This is the second person we've baptised because they had quite an experience of God in your house. So, you know, if you're looking for God, you could do no worse than go to Colin and Barb's house and have a holy experience there. But in all seriousness, if we're wanting to find Jesus, Jesus says, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. You'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You only have to have a little faith. Ellie had quite a lot of faith. She trusted in God to find those glasses. Jesus says you don't have to have a lot of faith. Just a little faith. Start drawing near to me and I'll begin to reveal myself to you. And at that moment, then bang, Jesus shouts in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. He proves that he is the resurrection and the life. Just a tiny move towards God, just the tiniest of moves, as you genuinely try to seek him, and God reveals himself. But one of the things is, the more you give yourself to God, the more you see his glory. Jesus is saying there's no half measures here. It's not, I am the resurrection and the life. That's such a solid claim. It's not sort of, I'm the resurrection part of your life. You know, you can have all this bit of life going on and I'll just bring Jesus in here because I need him for this bit. Jesus is saying everything has to centre around me. I am the resurrection and life. And Ellie's done a fantastic thing here this morning, as Clara did in September, as others have done before her, to say, actually, I'm sinking my whole life into Jesus. And as we give ourselves to Jesus, Jesus comes fully in. He came at Christmas time. That's what we remember with all our events. We move towards him. He draws deeply, deeply to us. We make the tiniest of moves towards him. He comes really, really close to us as we really seek him seriously. So just a couple of things for us to think on. One, maybe we're thinking, God, what are you doing in my life? Where are you? What's going on? And then maybe you are seeking God really deeply. Hang on in there. If you're seeking God earnestly, if you're following him, his timing's the best. He wanted to demonstrate his glory by raising Lazarus from the dead. Two, if you're thinking, what on earth is going on in my life, and you're not seeking Jesus at all, can I encourage you to seek him? To find him. If you're thinking, I was again talking to somebody else, and he said, I often wonder what the purpose of life is. If that's you, seek Jesus with all your heart. Start making a move to him. Look on the internet. Come to church. Talk to a friend. And then three, if you already follow Jesus, make him the centre of your life. He's not a battery that you put into your life to help you fulfil your purposes. He is your purposes. And as long as you make Jesus a battery to give you power to do all the other things in your life that you want to do, you will be disappointed. He will disappoint you time after time after time after time after time. And if you're disappointed with Jesus, that can well be a reason why. Jesus came to be your life. I am the resurrection and the life. And he's given a whole life to Jesus. There were some lovely pictures, I think, of the sunflower. Just think that's so you, Ellie. Helping other people, being kind to other people, bringing seeds into other people's lives. I thought that was a lovely picture. Just keep seeking God with all your heart. There'll be great times and there'll be times when it's difficult as well, but keep seeking, just as like in this story. And if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. So if you don't know him, seek him. If you do know him and you're disappointed, stop making him your battery, start making him your centre. And if you're following him, keep following him and trust in his timing. If you're wondering what's going on and you're seeking him, trust his timing. He's using your circumstances to do remarkable and special things. Let's be quiet for a moment and let Jesus speak into our hearts. Jesus, in a moment of quiet, in a crazy world, will you speak to us? Let's be quiet. Jesus, thank you that this reminder that you are the resurrection and the life. Thank you that if you're in our life, we will rise again when we die. And not only that, you make our life fuller and fuller each day, but we walk with you and seek your purposes. And I pray for each person here that they'll meet with you this morning. Lord, help us to seek you with all our hearts. Because when we seek you with all our heart, we find you, the one who is the resurrection and the life.